Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Talking about chicken a la king, mango and garbanzo tabbouleh, real potatoes and vegetables with roasted garlic and basil,
zucchini ziti,
granola fruit bar. Yeah.
Look at all this beautiful food.
Welcome to Green Eggs and Dan, the show where I interview amazing humans with amazing minds, and all I care about is what is in their fridge. I'm so excited about my guest today, Henry Zebrowski. He is an actor, comedian, known for his work on the Adult Swim series, Your Pretty Face is Going to Hell, where we met and our bromance, our love affair began.
It did.
He's also one of the hosts of the podcast, The Last Podcast on the Left. Yes. And in my opinion, if you want to see Henry at his very best, watch his episode of Netflix Presents The Characters.
You're very sweet to me.
Oh, no, you were very sweet to me.
I miss my baby. That was a baby that came out of my loins.
It was so good.
And it's not perfect, but it's mine. It's what it is.
It's amazing.
And I want people to see it.
They should see it.
They should see it.
Welcome, Henry. Thank you so much for being
here. Thank you so much for having me.
Now,
it's very, like, intimate to send a picture of your refrigerator without being prepped in any way, shape, or form.
Most people are really, really nervous about it. They don't know that I'm going to post it on Instagram, which I don't know if you knew that.
No, I didn't.
But
that's,
will be.
I'm cool. That's fine with me. But it's one of those things where you don't realize, like, because we've been on and off on the road.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of comedians' refrigerators kind of have the same sort of, it looks like a serial killer's, you know, refrigerator. It's just like stained with brown.
Right.
Where does the brown come from?
It's the umami. It's the umami of a comedian's fridge.
Yes.
The brown on that. Yeah, it's the pan drippings.
Yes. Of all of the, it's just, I think I have like 4 beers and a gallon of milk. And I'm here with my, you know, I live with a woman. I live with my wife. And she's got stuff in there, but she likes a lot of vegan meat flappies.
Yes. Well, this is something that I wanted to bring up because I was looking at your fridge.
Yes.
And don't take this the wrong way.
Don't. Please, whatever.
But I saw this fridge and I was like, this is a way healthier fridge than I thought Henry Zebrowski would have. And then you walked in and I haven't seen you in a while and you are half a Henry Zebrowski.
I've changed a lot over the last, like, straight up since 2012, I've kind of been on a thing.
How much weight have you lost?
You know what? I really haven't lost a lot. I think it's got to do with the fact that I just started being active, and I added stupid weights to my workouts and stuff like that. So I'm like, I am still very squishy.
You look the healthiest that I've ever seen you since I've known you.
Technically, I am.
Yeah.
Which is scary, too, at the same time, because I do terrible things to my body still. Like, it's still in there. You just work out enough to kind of balance out. Like, I was just in New Orleans for 6 days.
Uh-oh.
Nothing was healthy about my lifestyle in any way, shape, or form.
Where were you eating?
Everywhere.
Did Whatever you go to was cochon?
Yes.
Did you have
a... Yes, I did. I got the alligator. I got the chicken liver balls.
Ooh.
Oh, my God. Makes it big. But we changed a lot, and my wife is very healthy.
Okay.
She's a dancer.
Yes. I remember, very athletic.
Woman.
We had dinner together, I believe.
Yes,
in Atlanta?
Yes.
Yeah, at that Italian restaurant we went to.
That weird little place.
Yeah.
I forget where the hell it was called. It was by, oh, my brain. This is not great. This is not good radio. Me just grasping at straws. It's Virginia Highlands. Remember?
Yes, 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 yes. It was delicious. It was delightful.
It was wonderful.
So she is a healthy person.
She's a very healthy person, and
yeah.
I have just kind of become one.
But again, the fridge, very, very healthy looking. You can see it on my Instagram at StandUpDan to see Henry's fridge. Top shelf. A lot of Trader Joe's is what I'm seeing. You got
that's Natalie.
You got a lot of organic peanut butter. You got the Hatch Valley salsa.
I am the organic peanut butter. Natalie is the salsa. She has a. She is likes.
This, are,
you, also,
are these your wedding vows that you're doing?
This
right
is
now?
What it is. This is how we break down. These are our personality types. I'm one of those ENFPs. I think one of them is peanut butter. It's P's for peanut butter, and she is like an ISFP, which is like something with salsa in it. But she likes those salsas because they don't have onions in them.
Oh, interesting. Yes, the Hatch Valley.
Yes, I like onions. She cannot stand onions.
Interesting.
American Pits, one of the things we deal with.
Another yin and yang that I see in your fridge.
I mean, that's you could see it's a line drawn in the sand. It's our Palestine. It's right there. It is the whole
beers. The beers are you've got a lot of super highbrow, super lowbrow. You got your Budweisers, run of the mill Budweisers.
Yes.
Next to a what are these guys?
The 805s.
Firestone.
I like those 805s.
Firestone.
I got those. Those are from IPA. A post Thanksgiving. Because I don't drink as much beer anymore. That's a part of what it is, except when I'm on the road.
Okay.
When I'm doing the last podcast on the road, I drink a lot of beer because I try to switch to just liquor because, you know, because beer just, it just, I look like a human beer.
Right.
When I've had like nine of them in a night. So I try, I was like, oh, but I'll switch to whiskey or vodka and that'll help.
Yeah.
And then you get hammered.
Yeah.
And then you got to do a show and you're just like, oh no, now I'm this. I feel like my uncle unchained in front of a theater of people, and I can't do this. So, yes, we have some beers in there from the holidays.
Yeah. Are you not a wine guy?
I love wine.
Yeah.
But sometimes I get the agita.
Yeah,
because of the either the acidity of the wine,
the sulfites
sometimes hurt my insides, and now Zantac's illegal.
Zantac's
they're
illegal?
Pulling Zantac off the shelves. You heard this?
No,
people are shaking their heads. I am a Zantac. So when I grew up, we all had because I was 300 pounds since the time I was like fucking 12 years old. I remember a doctor saying like, you don't need prescription antacids. You could take as many Zantacs as you want. And we took I take like five
was
or six.
Was Chris
a day.
Farley your yes. gastroenterologist?
Yes, he was from Flushing. I was a man. I don't even know. I think I called him Joey. Was my doctor in Queens. Like, it was not.
Henry, tell you about it. You're a little fat, but it's nice.
But he gave me I went and got the. They said, take as many Zantac as you want. And now apparently it's causing cancer.
Really?
Yes. I don't know. They've been recalled.
Hold on, though. Is this a nature nurture thing? Like, is it the people who eat a lot of Zantacs probably live a type of life that's going to bring cancer on?
We'll find
or
out.
Or is it the Zantac that's actually causing the cancer?
I think that the numbers are still being crunched. I think there's a lot of stuff to come back to on that story.
What is... okay, so then you've got
but yeah,
your...
that's why I don't drink as much wine as I'd like to.
Oh, right. The agita.
Natalie is big into... There's this stuff called fit wine.
Oh, my God.
It's fitness wine.
I hate everything about it already.
I laughed my ass off because I'm just being like, imagine Natalie just fucking chugging this white wine as she's
Yo,
trying to
try our powerful Pinot. Try our chest-thumping Cabernets.
It's so funny. It's just a woman running with a bottle of wine in her hands. And it's like, looks like she's running from an abusive husband. What is this wine?
Oh, my God.
So funny. Like she loves that.
Tofurkey, I see.
Yep, that's Natalie.
That's Natalie. A lot of hummus. Two levels of hummus. One hummus, two hummus.
She forgets that she has them.
Yeah.
And then we get, so then the hummus is built up. And then you just kind of work it through until one turns green.
Right. I do that with mustard. I feel like I have seven mustards.
I have so many mustards. I wish I had gotten a proper shot of the condiment aisle.
Where is the junk food? There's no, do you have a guilty pleasure that you're not talking about?
You know what we do is... we're a big oh god
if you need to look at it.
We're a dark chocolate family.
Oh yes.
So we have bars of dark chocolate.
Yes.
Then we'll do I try not to like because problems I can really go out of I can go out of control so fast. I have to limit it. I have to keep it out of my hands.
Yeah.
So part of it is that when we were home for Christmas, we went to Florida for Christmas, and it's like we do full proper it's nothing proper about it. There's a full ass dinner.
Yeah.
With several proteins. Then my mom makes a, she's like, oh, and I got everybody's favorite ice cream. And you go into the kitchen and she has five different gallons of ice cream. And there's six of us in the house.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, have some. You gotta have it. I'm not eating it. Oh, we can't eat it. You know what? Me and your father, we split one chicken breast. That's all we need. Because that's her whole thing. She's obsessed with the idea of how little they could eat. And then when we're home, you double up all the food. So now I'm like trying to purge it out of my system.
Right.
And literally this morning, I raged throughout two huge bags. I have all these two huge bags of candy that my mom shoved back into my bag. And I was like, I can't. I literally can't have it in front of me because then it I consume it so fast. We just got a but like macaroons.
Ooh.
I'll rip through.
Wait, what kind of coconut macaroons or
either
macarons?
One. Is
like
it how do you pronounce it?
Oh, like the French ones?
Yes.
I think,
is it macaron?
I think it's macaron.
Either one.
Oh, either.
I mean, either one.
They're two very different foods.
But macarons.
Macarons.
Macaron. When I
am an Italian.
I don't know.
But the La Durée ones. Have you ever had the La Durée ones?
No.
Those are the very fancy ones.
Mm.
Usually comes in a green box.
Mm.
Now that I know this is your thing.
I'm obsessed with them.
Really? Where do you normally get them from? Or where?
Fucking wherever I can get them. There was a place.
There was a dumpster down the block.
Fuck a fisherman out. You some kind of French homeless man? You're leaving these? You're leaving these? I went and there is a macaron shop actually not too far from me because I'm up in the valley.
S H O P P.
Yes, yes. And I went up there and I booked house in there, man.
Yeah.
I walked in there. I look like Vincent D'Onofrio at a Fanny's house. I don't know really how to describe what I did in there. I was very excited for the macarons, and I got a whole sleeve of them.
Yeah.
And I just pop them in. And I was just at JFL this year, too.
Yeah.
And Montreal has got some good macarons.
Oh, yeah.
And they now have this little kind of like shanty shop village right outside of the main strip of JFL.
Uh-huh.
And I went and I got another sleeve of those.
Mm.
And you could just, like, I'm like Heathcliff with a fish, like, but except I don't pull any bones out. I can just open my mouth and just push the entire sleeve in.
Ooh.
And not savoring it at all.
No.
Which you should be.
No, you're on a French/Japanese game show where you have to fit as many
into my mouth as humanly possible.
What?
So those.
Is there a flavor that you gravitate towards?
Oh, salted caramel.
Ooh.
Or I like a green tea.
Oh, matcha.
I like a matcha. I like pistachio.
A pistachio.
Oh, he said it at the set. Oh, fucking I'm beside you. That's the thing. So we get very, I'm very like into cakes, like into very big fat boy aristocrat desserts.
Yeah, yeah.
I like all of them.
I do too. I'm like you. I can't have them in the house. And my girlfriend is like your mom, who's just like, well, just we can just have them here.
She
ordered
the same
ice cream.
She
fucking Postmated ice cream to the house the other day. I'm like, she's like, I just want. She fucking had one bite.
I've watched Natalie do it. I've watched her scrape it. It's like she smells the air at the top of the ice cream. And she's like, oh, so rich. This is too much for me. She'll be like, oh, I've had so much. I'm just going to take, I mean, like, this is, I can house this.
Yeah. And then it's in your fridge or freezer. And for me, it's like, okay, now there's a homing device that I'm constantly being attracted to. And literally last night I got home from doing a show. And I was like, okay, poured my little glass of wine, sit down, watch some TV. And I couldn't enjoy my wine because I was like, I know there's ice cream in
there. I want ice cream.
And
I'm a full-grown man. You start this like this thing yourself. I'm a full-grown man. I could get in that ice cream. I walked up. What did I do all day? I stood upright and I spoke today. All right, I did my job.
Yeah, we started,
I did
started
what
justifying
I had to do.
It. What? Yeah, I got 3,000 steps in today.
I know for a fact there's a lot of other things I could have done, but I didn't do them. Instead, I am eating ice cream. And that's what I got to be naughty. Because that's the other thing, too, I think, with especially not smoking cigarettes anymore.
Mm.
There are certain parts of my psyche that say that I want to do naughty things that are still there. And I don't, thankfully, I don't have a gambling addiction.
Mm-hmm.
The food stuff is just right underneath the surface because the way that I used to truly relieve stress is that I used to call fast food restaurant or whatever, delivery, and attempt to get as many sets of silverware as possible with just my order. So they would assume that there were more people than just me. Like, it was always my favorite get when I got like four sets of silverware because it's like they think I'm a family.
Without telling them.
No, never.
More silverware.
No.
You want to see what their assumption is.
Just be like, I need a General Tso's chicken. Yeah, you're going to double up on that. Like, just sound like a man that I'm eating a last meal before I write the letter to the president of what I'm going to do to the government. Like, that's what I want them to see. I want them to experience it. But I don't do that anymore. Because now it makes me, I don't get the same rush.
What was your place? What was your go-to guilty pleasure?
I
feel like a gross human.
I miss New York cheap Chinese food.
Okay.
That is something I've yet to fully replicate in L.A.
Well, yeah, the problem with L.A. Chinese food is that it's a little too authentic.
Is yes.
So you miss out on that fun, deep-fried fucking orange
gross
chicken.
Shit.
Yeah.
I like the gross
like
shit.
Panda Express shit.
I just miss big... I get this every time. This is my hangover meal, which is spare ribs and dumplings.
Ooh.
That's all I get.
Yeah.
And sometimes... out of pure guilt, like an esteemed vegetable, to be like, yeah, I got vegetables with it. And then I eat the whole thing in one go, and then you just sit in silence. And you do nothing else. You do nothing else for the rest of your day.
You turn your black light on.
I don't even think this has come. This is mayonnaise. I know, but I am very so things have changed in that way.
Yeah.
But that's the kind of thing that I'm glad, I guess, that LA doesn't have, but still I miss it all the time.
Can I tell you what I might ruin slash save your life?
Please.
Trader Joe's makes a frozen soup dumpling and a frozen shumai.
Really? You're good.
Wow. So good. So good. Oh, I feel like a bad boy when I pop those in my microwave.
So I'm very excited. All right.
Yeah. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be back in a second.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Back to Henry Zebrowski. Are you going out to eat a lot these days? Or are you eating at home a lot?
We do. Your 2020 resolution is to do more home cooking.
Okay.
Because when I'm on, because honestly, this year in 2019, last podcast was on the road quite a bit.
Okay.
So I ate out a lot. And when we're home, we eat out a lot. And then we order in a lot.
Mm.
But I miss cooking.
But you're a foodie as well. I mean, we went to some nice meals in Atlanta.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah.
Oh, we still hit up whatever we can. And LA, we hit up as much as humanly possible. The place we end up keep going to is a place called Otium.
Oh, Otium.
I love Otium. That's a really good restaurant.
Fantastic
downtown.
Restaurant. Downtown. Very beautiful. I usually walk into a restaurant, and if it's stunning visually, like aesthetically beautiful, I'm like, the food's not going to be great.
Me too.
Odeum might be the only place that breaks that rule. It's the most visually stunning place in LA, and the food is delicious.
We keep going back just because it's so good, and we have if there's like something to do downtown, it's like a good excuse to go hit it up.
Yes.
And I mean, our favorite place in the entire city is Moza. It's still Moza.
Pizzeria or Osteria?
The Osteria.
Osteria Moza. That is Nancy Silverton's flagship Italian restaurant. Beautiful food.
My favorite place in the city. But we don't go a lot for specific chefs. I sometimes do because I get really deep into research.
Yeah.
Which is a thing I'm also trying to break. I'm trying to break the whole, because like I have my websites that I go to my restaurants for.
Where do you go? Eater?
Eater. Yeah. Eater's my favorite. Eater's mostly on the money.
Yeah.
From what I've seen, everything that I've had, they took us to a place in Glendale that was the Lebanese / Persian. Like it was.
Was it Rafi Kebab?
Yes.
Okay.
Woo!
Woo, child.
Those are things that it introduced me to, but I was like, all right.
Rafi Kebab is just to give some context, is within Persia, because I'm Persian, and even amongst the Persian community is the best kebab place in LA.
That's what I like. And I like getting...
It's an Armenian who's making it, which is a little point of pride with us. We're like, what the fuck? We can't make the best kebab? We have to go to the Armenians for the best kebab?
But don't they also... You guys have good food in Santa Monica.
Yes.
But I'm never out that way. My friend, Sina Ghaznavi, who used to take me to Santa Monica to go to get Persian food, which was also incredible. But he knew all the owners. And so what I like is I love walking into a restaurant and I'm the only white person.
Yes.
Because then I know that I'm incorrect. When they are mad that I'm here, I'm correct. And so but I am trying to.
Oh, and you would stick out in a Persian restaurant.
Yeah, absolutely.
You have red hair.
Everything. And it's just me just, but I go like, I just point at my belly, being like, gimme, 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 gimme. And they know. In the end, that's the universal language of me going, gimme, 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 gimme. But Matt says I get wrapped up in all of the research of where do we have to go.
I get like that too, and I do kind of lament the days of back in the day when you would just walk down a block and be like, this place looks good.
Yes.
And just go in. Like, that to me feels like bungee jumping when I think about that we used to do that.
I used to do it all.
I need cross references. I need Yelp cross referencing with Eater, cross referencing with Infatuation.
All of the bullshit. I always have to be like, well, it's a 3 stars in Yelp, but actually people pay for these reviews. People fuck with this. So we're gonna do it. So you try to catch it. There's certain types of cuisine though.
Yeah.
That it is important, it seems. The big ones are sushi,
mm-hmm.
because the levels between bad sushi and good sushi are both like dangerous and awful. Yeah. There is so much bad in there
that
can go bad very quickly, and they pop up, especially because up in the valley, there's so many.
Yeah.
And so then, to me, it's more of what I used to do in my big boy days, and because I used to pride myself that I knew Chinatown and New York really well, because what I used to do is just hit each restaurant and I just walk in and just eat this, what's this, eat that. That's what I did, and that's how I created a little map for myself in Chinatown, where I don't have the same type of time.
Yeah.
And, foodie level stalker
in LA, it's also like a little more destination. You have to get in your car, go somewhere. Whereas New York, you go downstairs, there's going to be in a one block radius somewhere fantastic.
Something's going to be good.
Yeah.
Because you have to, if you are existing, if there are people in the restaurant and the restaurant is open in New York, you have succeeded past so many other human beings,
absolutely.
Which means something has to be working.
Absolutely.
Because that's what I talk about with Ben Kissel. Ben Kissel and I, on Last Podcast on the Left, get into arguments quite a bit because I say you never eat at an empty restaurant.
Like,
that is one of my main rules.
Yeah.
You walk in, if it's dead, no one, this is not good. The food's just sitting there. Whatever it is just sitting there and congealing.
Yeah.
Nothing's being served, and obviously nobody gives a shit, especially when you go past like two packed restaurants and then this restaurant is empty. That's bad news.
I know. I feel bad for them, but I'm like...
In LA, I think that there is the same restaurant philosophy here. Like, there has to be people inside, but it really sucks when you drive for fucking 25 minutes to arrive at a restaurant that looks like total horseshit. And then you're kind of stuck in it. And you're like, all right, well, let's try it now. And it's like, man, my stupid internet bullshit.
And all the servers are staring at you.
And you're just being like, why'd you we can't leave now. Like, you are the reason why now I have to stay.
Oh man. I last week I went to a restaurant that was that. I was given a suggestion. Mind you, it was an Uber driver who gave me the suggestion.
But they know what's up.
But he was Japanese and he was from Japan. And we were talking about restaurants that we don't have in America that they have in Japan. We don't have these restaurants called unagi restaurants that are restaurants just about eel. It's an eel restaurant.
Ooh.
And in Japan, it's a thing. Like, you want to go to steakhouse or the eel house? Like, it's an eel-based restaurant.
I would do that in a second.
It's delicious because it's just like wonderfully seasoned rice with just like slabs of beautiful eel on top. And so he's like, my friend's uncle just opened up an unagi restaurant. I'm like, great. So my buddy and I'm like, we're going to this place. And we went, and it was like completely empty, completely way more expensive than it should have been. They didn't have a lot of the fun eel stuff that you have in the eel restaurants in Tokyo.
No,
if you listening, Uber guy, 1 star, bro.
For the restaurant. The ride was lovely.
The ride was great.
No, I would love to do something like that. When we were just in the UK, I wanted to go get an eel pie, and I went to go look at, and then I went to a place that was selling them, and you know what it is? They got a lot of right in the UK.
Yeah.
In many ways. They got the boats there. Incredible. I guess the tea is good. I don't see any difference.
Wait, is this you struggling for positive things about UK so you can shit on their eel pie?
I'm just saying that the food is not good. And so anything that they say is like their specialty, even like their meat pies, you're like, I've got to have a meat pie. Like it's the best thing in the world and they are used to it. There's no flavor in it. It's just a bunch of mush in a pie crust that all tastes exactly the same. From the best pie place to the worst pie place, it all tastes exactly the same. And then the eel pies, I was like, this looks like this is like Sebastian's cum. Like, I don't want to eat this right now. Like, this is not what I want. We're in Japan. You see all the sliced up unagi.
Yeah.
You see, I love a nice barbecued eel.
You know, eel is interesting because it actually used to be in a lot of cuisine, like royalty cuisine in the West, in like, you know, British Empire, kind of French. Like, you see these old Renaissance paintings and you saw royalty always having eel at the table. And eel was one of those meals, one of those dishes that gave people gout. You know, like gout was like it's like a rich person's disease because they wanted eel all the time.
Yeah, and they're all filled with that. They're like fatty oils.
Yeah.
Something happens to rich people's feet. I feel like I get at the end of New Orleans. I felt my feet grow. And I was like, I got to get the fuck out of here.
I'm getting gout.
I've had alligator 3 times this week.
Did you have a muffaletta?
You know what? I didn't.
Oh,
I should do it.
Man.
I should do it. Because the problem is that I was so, we had massive dinners and then got hammered. And then breakfast was like whatever I could fold into my face. And then we weren't hungry until another massive dinner. Yeah.
Well, you need to get a muffaletta next time you're there. It's basically a sandwich on a focaccia bun.
Mm.
And then it's like every fucking
slice of pork. They got olive loaf.
Pork.
They got all the kind of shit. Mm.
Yeah, every
you know
part
like
of pork.
It.
They got an olive tapenade.
You know I like it, goddammit. You know I fucking like it. I'm trying to think what else is because, but this year, we're cooking more.
Yeah.
Because the things we have to move. Well, I am a person who is, I love cooking. It's a stress reliever for me.
Yeah.
It's one of my favorite things in the world. But we have a kitchen that is literally 10 feet square. Like we have a little kitchen and I'm so sick of it. So we're trying to move. And when we move, my whole thing is I'm just on HGTV.
Yeah.
Just being like, I want that shit. Where's my fucking island? Where's my island? I want some restaurant style sinks going on here. I want the hose from the ceiling. I want all of the shit if I can work it out.
The ceiling hose to me is the most, when I see friends of mine who have that, I'm like, you're not,
you don't do this.
You're not
shit.
A fucking chef in a restaurant. It's like, if I'm making stock, fuck you.
You
fill
don't
up
make
your
stock.
Pot in your sink and then bring it.
You don't do that shit. I remember because Jeff Ross's old house had a full-on professional kitchen, like a full, and it was like it was his first house, so it was like a little, but it was just like full-on, like that whole thing, the faucet from the ceiling and all that bullshit. And it's like, you don't use this stuff. It's all covered in takeout.
The plate warmer.
Yeah,
you don't need your plate warmer, Jeff Ross. Fuck you, Jeff.
That's what I want, though. That's the kind of shit. I was like, I want all of this bullshit, and then I was like promising Natalie, because right now I'm in a kind of a rut where I only make like 3 things.
Yeah.
Where I make a no fry chicken parmesan for myself. I make a thing that we call mush, which is just me, is beans and corn and tofu. And like I make like a Mexican, like essentially it's like a Mexican stir fry that I give to Nat. Like we just push into our mouths. I was like, I need variety.
Let me ask you this. Are you a grill guy? Do you grill?
I am a huge grill guy.
Are you a smoker guy?
I'm going to do all of it, my
okay.
friend.
Okay, well,
that is my dream.
I don't know if you know this, and this is not me plugging, but it inevitably goes to this. I am a brand ambassador.
What?
For Traeger, which Traeger is a grill company that makes these. They make pellet grills that are fantastic.
I want one real
bad. If you don't want to be a fucking barbecue master and like learn how to do this shit, and you just want to set in and forget it and have the most amazing food, Traeger.
You just sold me.
I will.
You just literally sold a unit on the show.
I might be able to get you on without having to sell you one. These guys fucking hooked me up.
This
dude.
Is why
I reached out to them on the Instagram and I was like, guys, I want to get your grill. Please.
Because it's the one that Rogan has too.
Yes, it's the Rogan one. And I said, just can I get a discount? And these guys, so wonderful. They're like, because I do a lot of cooking on my Instagram. Mm-hmm. They sent me one for free. Dude. Not only one, they sent me a fucking $2,000 one.
Woo.
And they're like, just do one post and you'll be fine.
I'll post on it every week. I literally will post every week. As soon as I have a backyard or that kind of bullshit, I will be out there because I want a chef's hat with all of this shit. I love grilling.
Yes.
I would grill every day if I could.
Yeah.
There's something very meditative and nice, and it reminds me of like the best times I had with my father.
Yeah,
like that kind of thing. Where
there's also a primal caveman thing of like fire
directly
dripping.
On fire.
Yeah,
you're there. You feel the heat. You're outside. It's kind of nice.
Yeah, it's good. You got your gut out.
I'm there.
You got 3 inches of your gut under your tank top.
Well, now I've been trying to switch to a lot of athleisure.
Athleisure? Oh, you got your Lululemons on. You got your Lulus.
I was dressed the other day, and at one point I was like, did I just turn like New Jersey, like goth? Like, it's all black tracksuit. I was like, wearing thing, and I was like, I look like Tony Soprano who just got done at a Hot Topic. Like, how did I get to this?
Oh, the best.
So relaxed.
We're going to post a picture of you in your Lulus or your aloe yoga clothes.
I'll send you one.
We'll be right back in a second, but first, if you're getting into smoking foods, welcome. It's awesome. I am partial to Traeger pellet grills, but there are a bunch of amazing smokers out there to choose from. If you're gonna smoke anything, your best guide is Aaron Franklin of Franklin Barbecue in Austin. Some say he makes the best barbecue in the country. I say he definitely makes the best barbecue videos in the country. I have seen his brisket how-to video over 200 times. Yeah, I'm really lonely. Okay, back to Henry. So we're going to get to the question portion of the show.
Do it.
Rapid fire.
Do it.
But there's no rush. No rapid. Okay. But it's just fire.
It's structure.
It's structure. what is your earliest food memory?
Well, my mom, apparently, so I was born premature. I was about a month premature.
Wah, wah.
Yeah. You don't understand. And the doctors always said he's always going to have a hard time gaining weight. And
I'll show you.
Challenge accepted. But my mom, I remember as a kid, I would not eat anything with visible anything. All I ate was buttered elbow noodles and hot dogs. Mm. My mom, though, because it was dangerous essentially for a kid to have hot dogs because of the skin on them, she used to boil them and then peel the skin off by hand mm-hmm. so that I could eat them. And I do remember chowing into this. I remember at one point, it's one of those memories where I'm in the high chair, like looking around, and I just remember it on the plate.
Interesting. That was a long fucking time ago.
Yeah, it's one of those that's been there forever.
That's a good
but
one.
I love them. I don't know what else.
Yeah, is it the type of thing where you can not eat hot dogs? You can't look
no,
at the
I eat them all
okay
the time.
With them?
Even Natalie and I hammered on New Year's Eve. I made a thing of buttered noodles that we just ate it over the stove. Where it was like, I just need food. I need food. You know what's also a good
were
memory?
You guys camping on New Year's Eve?
Yes. We're squatting. It's the new LA like it's about conservation. Right, right. We break into people's homes and we stay in their homes.
Yeah, it's no carbon footprint. The home's there already.
It's their footprint. I'm walking on top of their footprint. But I remember going to a Mets game with my dad, and I remember the first time getting spicy waffle fries they used to have at Shea Stadium. And I remember that being like one of those. It was like, this is a baseball meal.
Yeah.
Like, you can only get this here. Because there was like, you know, things have changed.
Waffle fries are a very good first memory. I feel like every kid remembers. Because it's like...
They're wild.
They're wild. The shape, the amount of crunch consistency to inside is fantastic.
I just love it so much.
Because I never thought of... This is the thing about waffle fries. They've got the holes within the waffling, which creates more surface area to get fried.
That's actually, that's genius.
It's genius.
It's the thing you see where then you're like creating 3D crunch where you're doing it within the entire fry,
wow.
Which allows all of that
Oof, shout out to whoever created the waffle fry. Frank Waffle Fry, you killed it.
It's probably some German scientist, unfortunately.
Yeah, he was like a Nazi scientist.
Part of Operation Paperclip of what we got. We got the rocket program, and we got all different ways to fry potatoes.
Sure, I created Zyklon B, yes.
Yeah.
But my little known feat was I also created the waffle fry.
Does it equal?
Hey, I think it does.
What is your death row meal? Last meal on Earth?
Oh, man. My simple favorite meal, my favorite thing to eat is a giant steak. It is, I think, my boilerplate. Like, what would I really, really want at the very, very end? It's a huge steak.
What cut?
I love a ribeye.
Yeah.
I like a ribeye.
If it's tomahawk on your last day.
Yeah, I want a big one.
The big old tomahawk.
Because that's what we used to do when we just went to, for before going on tour, we did like a bit this last year, we all went to Peter Luger's to kind of just do. And at some point, we're like, I kind of want sides, but not even really. So we just ordered steak for six for the three of us and just ate. We just ate nothing but steak.
Ooh.
And it was great.
And that Peter Luger steak is like sizzling in butter?
No, it's just full of butter.
Yeah.
And they're so mean.
They're so mean?
They're so mean.
They
could take it down a notch.
Oh, did you read their review?
Oh, that's bad. No, they got a bad review.
They got a bad review.
Well, it's because it has dipped.
Well, that's the thing. I actually was okay with the review because I am over restaurants being able to just rest on their laurels.
Yes. Something
has to
change.
We've been here, so you got to come and pay double.
No, at some level, the experience has to change. At least it has to grow, or it has to be so timeless.
Slightly. Yeah.
So timeless that you're just like, this reminds me of the first time I came every time. And that's difficult. And so instead of worrying about staying timeless, you should just kind of vaguely change.
Yeah.
I don't know. Just have a credit card machine.
Yeah. Have a fucking credit card machine.
Just have something. But, you know.
Rebrand.
But I'm not here to shit on Peter Luger's. I'll go back.
Yeah. Guys, we love you. Please don't ban
us. Go back.
What is the best high-end meal that you have ever had?
Ooh, Lord. I'm trying to think. You know, because Natalie and I as a whole are both made a little uncomfortable by very fine dining. Because of the...
Not me. I'm like, treat me like a boy king.
I would love to. No, that's not the problem. The problem is what do I do within there? But then I'm slowly becoming to terms with the idea of being like, no, you're in the restaurant, so therefore they have to deal with you. It's the Rorschach, like, I'm not trapped in here with you. You're trapped in here with me.
Right.
Like, that's the mentality.
Wow, you've gotten very Jean-Paul Sartre on restaurants.
Yeah.
No exit for both of us.
Yeah, you see? Mutual destruction. I want to say, I mean, now all of this is controversial, but I was at Babbo on my birthday.
Oh, yeah. Mario Batali is very controversial.
It is very controversial.
But he's also the chef that like got me into food.
Me too.
And hashtag me too.
But I remember, so number one, so it was my birthday, May 1st, Babbo. It was the day Osama bin Laden got murdered. And we were in the restaurant when someone said, hey, literally someone stood at me like, we just got Osama bin Laden. And the whole restaurant, everybody in suits, got up. We're like, we got him.
Shut up. In Babbo?
Yes.
It's a very classy joint.
Yes, it was very funny. It was very funny. But I remember also that time, number two, was someone's been like, you know what? Batali's got a secret bar upstairs. And I was like, man, that would be incredible to get invited up there. And you realize, like, oh no, that was his touch butt alley. And you're like, ah, well, that's bad. I guess I wouldn't have gotten up there.
No, he wouldn't have liked you.
No.
Oh, Vitaly.
Unfortunate.
Here's the thing. It's like, what do you do? It's like, I love Picasso, but he was awful. He was an awful human being.
They're all terrible.
As well. They're all terrible.
I don't know. I think now it's like, now that it's gone and it's over and it's over. I ate when it was cool and now time has passed. And I won't, you know. Now that he's not there, I'd go there because I think technically he was also tied into Mozart too a little bit.
He was. He's completely been divested out of all of his investments.
Oh,
so you can go guilt-free and eat at all of his places.
No, now he's out. And so it doesn't really matter now. But at the time, it was like, because I remember all the buzz because he was there that day too. And it was sad.
Yeah.
But we got him.
We got Bin Laden and Babbo and Vitaly. What is the best low-end meal that you've ever had?
Man, that's the other one that I, those are my, some of my favorite ones.
Yeah, same.
Those are the ones where you go and you really can experience. I remember getting back in the day when Verde Mart in New Orleans was a very, it was kind of super hot.
I don't know this place.
It was, it's a sandwich place across the street from the LaLaurie Mansion, which is one of the most haunted houses in America.
Oh, wow.
And you went into this little back place. It was a deli sandwich, and all they do is make po' boys, and it was fucking out of control.
I love me a good po' boy.
It's so good. It's so good. That was one of those you just tuck in.
Shrimp po' boy. Also po' boy.
Oh, yeah. And I also like a, we went with, this was a long time ago, I went with Matt and Glennis McCarthy to a barbecue, Korean barbecue in downtown LA that was out of sight.
Oof.
I was out of sight. I forget the name of the place. Again, it's one of those where that my Koreatown, my knowledge of that in LA is so spotty, and I only remember flashes of me, of being hammered. Like, I kind of remember the face of this restaurant, but I don't remember any of the names.
Yeah. No, a good grimy Korean barbecue hits all the spots.
It really does.
Oof.
I love it. I like cooking it myself, too. I like the what's it, spots. I like all of the various.
Oh, the do-it-yourself stuff?
All of the, that. I like the rolling out. I love the tea. I don't know.
By the way, very, very simple to make at home, which now that you're cooking more, is bulgogi, which is the Korean marinated beef that you had at the Korean restaurant. Very simple. Here's what you got to do. You get some of your favorite steak or chicken. Cut it up real thin.
Mm-hmm.
Put it in a plastic bag.
Okay.
In that bag, some soy sauce, some hot sauce. It can be, it's supposed to be gochujang, which is Korean fermented hot sauce.
Yes.
You can put sriracha in there.
Great.
A couple cloves of garlic, minced. Some ginger minced, a little bit of sugar, like one teaspoon, and just fucking.
Ooh, how long should that sit?
Secret ingredient, half a grated pear. Pear is actually an amazing meat tenderizer.
What?
Yeah.
Man, this is awesome. I didn't know that. That's a great idea.
It doesn't make any sense.
Sure, I'll take it. And Nat likes pears, and I don't like pears, but I use them for meat.
Yeah. And I don't know who invented this. Who was like, I don't like these, but let's grind it up and put it in our meat as we marinate it.
So what, you just grate it on top?
I mean, you just grate it into
and then you
the
mix
thing,
it all together?
Mix it all together. So it can be a quick marinade because it's the enzymes start breaking down the meat really fast. So within like an hour or so, you're going to have the most delicious fucking meat, and you put that in your cast iron or grill or whatever, change your life.
Oh, yeah.
Very easy to do.
Yeah, I'll do that.
Yeah.
And then, what? Ooh, yeah, great.
Over some rice or whatever.
Oh, man, I want my kitchen so bad.
Yeah, and then you get the hose from the ceiling.
They're all going to see. They're all going to know. You know what's also really good? You've been homegrown in Atlanta.
Homegrown.
That is a fucking spot.
What is it?
Homegrown.
I don't know.
Southern cooking.
Really?
Traditional, like, not super traditional, it's kind of more a hipstery, but it's like they do a really good job of doing classic Southern food, and it's just out of fucking sight.
I'm okay with a slight hipsterization of classics.
Got to, sometimes.
Sometimes you got to.
Because it updates it, because I really only want it made traditional.
Yeah.
If I see a traditional person behind the thing, I want to see someone who's like 80.
Like, yes.
Being like, I stole this recipe from an old gambling boat. And you're like, what? That's the stuff I like.
I also think that a lot of the foods that we think of as tradicional lost their way in the 50s and 60s with the glut of fast food and butters and this and that. And the hipsterification is actually bringing it back.
Oh, I remember when my sister worked at this place called the Blue Stove in New York, where it was just so hipster that they were like barely using an oven. Like, it was so old school. It was like,
we used our breath to heat up the food. That's how they used to do it.
Yeah, it's like,
on
it's
the Oregon
so
Trail.
It's so ancient and so difficult. Whatever it was they were making, that was like, it was great, but it made this stuff very expensive.
Yes, that is the rub.
Yes.
What is your favorite drunk food? Oh, I think you told me this. Oh, no, your favorite hangover food.
Food, yeah. My favorite drunk food, man. Can really be anything. Like,
depends
on where the hell I'm at.
Sweet or savory?
I go for savory more when I'm hammered. There's things that were more conditional that I've, when, like, you know, New York, it's pizza, because you can get it anywhere.
Yeah, dollar
like you
slice.
You can just fucking slide. You leave the bar and you can get it immediately. Because in LA, it's a little bit harder to get food at night.
Yeah, it is.
So a lot of times we end up making whatever the hell's in the house. Mm. Like we just kind of put something together. But what did I just, I think I just had some, what did I got some old school, because I'm a very traditional sushi person.
Okay.
Like I like just normal, like salmon roll, like yellowtail roll, like very simple. Just,
undisturbed, not too fratty, as I like to call it.
Yes.
Fratty sushi.
But I just went ahead and I was hammered and I got like the crunchy, like I did all of the big fat boy ones.
The weird, like the names of them? Like
yes. It was called like, yeah, the crunchy madame. They're like, ugh. I don't want a crunchy madame in my home. I don't want her in the front of my apartment building. But then she comes in that, and it was honestly very nice.
Oh, yeah.
It was so good. It was just so fatty.
Those are delicious when you're fucked up.
Yes.
Because it's all those fun little flavors. Sushi is one of those foods that I don't like when I'm like, if I'm stoned or if I'm hammered, like, because it's a little more refined. But when you fuck it up with the crunchies,
all the gross shit,
and the eel sauce,
I slam it in. And it works here because also LA, the Thai food is better, but only in certain neighborhoods. Because yeah. I miss a good old fashioned Thai delivery spot.
Yes.
And I have it. I still years of looking for it now where we're at. And I can't seem to find it anywhere.
Well, the Thai food in LA suffers the same thing as the Chinese food does, which is it's a little too authentic.
Yeah.
And we can't just get a regular pad thai joint. You got to go to like night market where they're like, this is how they actually made pad thai.
It's like, I know.
And you're like, great, but I don't need the frog liver in my fucking
I
pad
love
thai.
Night market, but and so they sold me on the water bug salsa, the super traditional, like we put this
oh,
is
they
what
did?
We always do. And I was like, this is a prank against white people. This is them trying to convince me that you guys eat bugs. And I know some people do, and it's a massive protein. We're going to all be eating bugs in 20 years.
Yeah.
But it was like, I'm not ready.
Yeah.
I mean, he put them because they do not, they don't hide the water bugs in there.
They have like a pig blood soup. I'm like, come on, guys.
It's a lot. It's a lot. And it's like, man, I'm hungover as fuck.
It is one of my favorite restaurants, but it's definitely like, it's a commitment.
Yes. Because then.
I can't do anything the next day.
I used to live right around the corner from there.
Yeah.
And I used to, that became like my local restaurant. And I was like, this is
dangerous.
Killing me.
No, I can go like once a quarter.
Because they also have that other place, that Chinese, vaguely Chinese fusion spot right down Sunset. Not Paper Crane.
Oh, Pine and Crane?
Pine and Crane
yeah.
is also very good.
Pine and Crane is fantastic. The chef, I forget her name, but she used to work at the French Laundry. And then she like opened up her Taiwanese restaurant. She just opened up another one called Joy in Highland Park.
Is it good?
It's good, but it's like, it's one of those things of like the white people are just lined up around the block and for good stuff. But it's like, if this was takeout, it would be fine. But like for me to fucking wait in a line and have it,
I don't wait online for food.
Really?
I'm one of those.
What about like a fantastic bowl of ramen? I'll wait online for
I don't wait online. Really? I don't. That's why we don't do brunch.
Oh, fuck brunch.
We're not brunch people.
Fuck brunch.
I just don't
$30
like
for eggs and asparagus. Go fuck yourself.
I don't like waiting for food. I get hangry.
Yeah.
And then we're fighting.
Yeah.
And I love my wife.
Yeah.
I don't want to fight with my wife. I don't want to fight with people on the street. Because I'm sitting here locked in with all of us. We're all locked in here like a bunch of people waiting on boats to leave a city that's burning. Like, I don't want to be. I can't wait. I need food now.
Yeah.
I need it right now. So, you know, throw a bar in there.
I agree, 100,000,000%.
Yes, but I do. I remember one time I tried to wait. It was in Smorgasburg in Brooklyn. And they remember they had that little period of time where they were doing the ramen burgers?
Yes.
And they had
where
a
the
line,
bun was like the
ramen
noodle.
Noodles. Yeah. And I waited online for a period of time. And then I got up to close to the front and they ran out. And I was like, oh boy. Wow. I am seeing purple. I'm so upset. And then you're like, I'm ridiculous because it's not a thing to actually be mad about. But you're just like, now I've become so enraged at a frou-frou, just this whole thing. This whole thing I am involved in, that I am a willing member of, that I am in this. It's 25 degrees out. We're all in this hipster food carnival where we've taken all these poor people's foods. We've made them very expensive.
And their real estate.
Yes. Yes, because I remember when this was, I remember I was me yelling at people.
This used to be low-income housing.
This used to be a dock where people were murdered. why can't it go back to being normal when people were afraid to be here? Like, and I know that, no, it's change is good, I guess, but also bad.
I'm just picturing them saying, yeah, we've run out, and you're just short-circuiting and just staring at them.
I think I just went like, like I made like one of those like laughs. I was like, I was so afraid of what my hands were going to do.
And just like, just urinating in your pants, staring at them.
Just laughing, just going, smacking myself in the face. That's an hour I can't get back, huh? And then what am I mad about? It's a ramen burger.
Oh, well, your mindfulness kicks in.
You know, every once in a while.
Yeah.
Once a quarter.
What is your, do you have a favorite, like, celebrity chef or, like, I guess Mario Batali was mine,
he
too.
He was mine,
it's problematic,
too. He's gone now.
His food show, I don't know if you ever saw.
Loved.
His food
Malto
show.
Malto Mario.
Oh, Malto Mario.
Taught me so much.
I still think it's the best food show that.
Loved his dynamic.
Also, Harvey Weinstein. Great stuff that. Go down the list.
Yeah, the food.
All
it's
the positive
to our,
things.
Our
that all the Me Too
episode. Now my favorite. You know who's my favorite for recipes? Is Ina Garten.
Yes, I agree. Barefoot Contessa. Her recipes are very doable.
Yes.
Easy to follow.
Bougie. They're bougie level for. They're good for entertaining.
Yes.
And they're not. It's all about, can you get good ingredients?
Yes.
Then that's really all the thing.
But she's not going to make you exhausted with the recipe. She's not going to be like, you need to make your own chicken stock before you do this. Like, she'll be like, if you don't, you know,
you can substitute these things, which I really enjoy.
She's also I'm low-key very attracted to Ina Garten.
Absolutely.
She has a sexiness about her on her show, especially when she's like, my husband's coming home in an hour.
I think it's just the idea of the idea of arriving and having this entire gourmet meal made for you, and Jeffrey's the luckiest man who's ever lived. He loves roast chicken. And he imagines his wife as a big roast chicken, which is also scary, too, at the same time.
Do you have a desert island food? You're trapped on a desert island. You can only eat one thing for the rest of your life. You're not going to get bored of it. It's just your go-to.
I mean, unfortunately, it's a thing I make I really just make roast salmon and roasted Brussels sprouts in my house like 3 times a week.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Because it's greens that go in, and I got my protein.
Yeah.
That's really it.
What is your, what kind of salmon? Where do you get your salmon from?
I just get it from the counter.
From the counter?
I go to I either go to Ralph's or a Gelson's if I'm feeling it.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll go to a Gelson's if it's closer. But I'll go to the Ralph's. You know what I mean? And just get whatever. I get their radiated salmon and I eat it.
Yeah. Can I tell you something? When it comes to salmon, I actually am very okay with the farm-raised garbage.
I don't mind it.
Because it's very fatty, because, you know, the fish have been in a pen. They haven't moved around.
I like the fattiness.
It's like the veal of salmon.
I like the fattiness, yes, because it's nice. But technically, it's supposed to also help your brain.
Omega-3s?
I think so.
Yeah, sure.
I don't know. I say stuff. I say stuff to myself to imagine that everything is fine.
Do you have a restaurant? Last question. This is the last question. This is my favorite question because I have so many of them. But do you have a restaurant pet peeve?
I don't like it when somebody drops the ticket before, like when we are. And I'm not talking about like a diner. I'm talking about we're having date night or it's an anniversary. We spent crazy money and you're like trying to kick me out of here because we deign to have a 7 p.m. reservation instead of a 9 p.m. reservation.
Right.
So that is one of those where it's like, I get mad, where it's like, we're just here. We're all trying to pretend like we're at home. Like, let's just have this moment. But that's probably the closest I'd have to a pet peeve because I've kind of gotten over. I used to be really upset with the New York hipster employee vibe of, you arrive at a place and someone's looking at their phone.
Ugh.
Like someone at the counter is looking at their phone. And then you're like waiting to see standing there and go like, hey, hello. And they're like, yeah. Like while they're looking at their phone. They mean like, I know I should congratulate you for working here. And I should congratulate us, this neighborhood, for me being allowed to be here before I'm allowed to have coffee here. I know I'm a big Queens piece of shit. Can I just have an espresso? That'd be very nice.
Wait, why do you say that used to piss you off? That should still piss you off. That's a good one to still piss you off. Have you just become like super mindful?
No.
Like,
No. You should hear me in the car. It's just the New York. It's because I'm out of New York.
Oh, okay.
I'm out of New York. It's very specifically in New York.
Yeah.
It's a very specific New York. And so I haven't seen it in a while because L.A. has the I do improv waiter mentality, which is actually very nice in a way, even when they're running bits.
They must love you because you're the improv guy.
No, I know.
You're like, Henry's here.
No.
He was my level one stand-in for once.
No, I understand. I mean, let's not be running bits all day.
Right.
But I have a problem with running bits all day, so I can't really diagnose anybody else.
You know, it's funny because when I was on Your Pretty Face and you guys would just be running bits all the time, I'd have to take a breather.
Of course. Got to. But that was us trying to keep the energy up.
You're a fun bit runner. Your bits are very fun.
I feel that I let them go at appropriate times, sort of. The thing about a bit is that it does also sort of, it has to annoyingly recur. It has to.
Right.
For it to be a proper bit.
Right.
So you just press and press it. Craig Rowan is the fucking master of it. He still is. There's a bit that we have going that is still going on that he still sends me. He's like, Henry, I have something really important to tell you. Like, this is serious. This is super serious. Is it our? Can I show you something? And I go, yes. And then he sends me the same exact picture of Tom Cruise with the dick for a nose, and he's been doing this for years, and it still happens.
It's a good bit.
It's a good bit.
It's a good bit. But it's true. I think. I don't know who I would prefer as a server: the over improv-y guy or the pissed off at life guy.
You know what? At least when you're full of life, I am trying to promote. It's the idea of promote more positivity. I think that there are places in Twitter and these kind of things where they kind of they think depression is like fun.
Right.
Like it's like a funny thing to joke about the end of the world. It's a funny thing to joke about how much they want to commit suicide, which I do appreciate up to a point.
Yeah.
But I feel like it's become such a hashtag mood that at some point I feel like you are don't realize that you're willing suicidal ideation into your life.
Wow. Thank you for the Oprah ending.
So people are just too cool to be there. It's being like, man, then you shouldn't be here. Go where you're so cool that I guess you'd be there for free though. But be wherever that is.
Yeah.
You should be there.
Be wherever that is.
Yep.
Henry, thank you so much.
So much,
buddy. For coming on Green Eggs. And Dan, is there anything that you'd like to promote?
Last Podcast on the Left is just about to go on a big book tour.
Oh, April fantastic.
2020. Yep, we're going to 20 cities in 30 days. Check out our lastpodcastontheleft.com. And at Henry Loves You on Twitter and on Instagram, I at Dr. Fantasty.
Dr. Fantasty. Yeah. Wonderful. Thank you, Henry.
Thank you.
This episode of Green Eggs and Dan was produced by Andrew Steven. Executive produced by Jeff Umbro and The Podglomerate. You can find more of their podcasts at thepodglomerate.com. The theme music is Beautiful Food by Idan, and interstitial music is by Breakmaster Cylinder. Special thanks to Irios. To see pictures of Henry Zebrowski's fridge, information about the restaurants mentioned in the episode, and more, follow me on Instagram and Twitter at StandupDan. If you like this show, please tell a friend, share an episode, and leave a rating and review on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
The Podglomerate. A sonic universe.
When it comes to weight loss, no two people are the same. That's why Noom builds personalized plans based on your unique psychology and biology. Take Brittany. After years of unsustainable diets, Noom helped her lose 20 pounds and keep it off.
I was definitely in a yo-yo cycle for years of just losing weight, gaining weight, and it was exhausting.
And Stephanie. She's a former D1 athlete who knew she couldn't out-train her diet, and she lost 38 pounds.
My relationship to food before Noom was never consistent.
And Evan, he can't stand salads, but he still lost 50 pounds with Noom.
I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. Even through the pickiness, Noom taught me that building better habits builds a healthier lifestyle. I'm not doing this to get to a number. I'm doing this to feel better.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom users compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.